details of the long-awaited report by Chief Scientist Alan Finkel into the national energy market were made public today. In a leaked copy of the report due out tomorrow, Finkel warns Australia will not meet its emissions reduction targets under the Paris Agreement with the current policies in place, and that lack of clear policy is limiting investment in the energy sector. Catherine Murphy broke that story, got that report. She's Guardian Australia's political editor and a regular here on RN Drive. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Congratulations on your yarn.
Thank you. Well, thank you. That's very kind. But I want to know whether or not you're the person of the year, Patricia.
Oh, stop it, Catherine. Only you would say that. No, totally not. No,
sorry, love.
No,
sorry,
although
love.
Some of my tweets, maybe some of my tweets would probably make it. Let's get to this report. Based on the Finkel report, why won't Australia reach Paris targets?
Well, his argument in this 58-page preliminary report, which will go to COAG tomorrow, as you've said, Patricia, is essentially that we've had a period in climate policy in Australia where there's been a lot of uncertainty. When the Abbott government was elected, there was a great big war against the federal renewable energy target. The implications of that are still playing out through the sector. We had an economy, or we had a national carbon pricing system, which the former Labor government implemented, that was repealed by Tony Abbott, and we have the direct action climate policy. And basically, there's been this prolonged period of uncertainty. There's not bipartisanship between the major parties. Therefore, we've had this period where investors are standing off on the sidelines because they don't quite know where to put their money. Because if you want to invest in a high emissions fuel source or energy source, you could find the policy changes and you could find that you do your dough, not to put too fine a point on it. If you invest in a renewable energy or source or a low emission source, you could also find yourself in trouble if there's backtracking. So he's making the point, in essence, that the policy framework that's in place is inadequate to the task of reducing emissions in accordance with the agreement we made in Paris. That's the first point. The second point is it's basically because we've had this very unsettled period, investment in the sector is not where it should be. And until the government fixes this, and hopefully fixes it with a rational set of policies rather than a botched-up job, then we're going to have problems in the electricity industry that could raise power prices for consumers and could basically make the whole grid more insecure.
Now, Josh Frydenberg appointed Alan Finkel to do this review. That's what he announced a couple of months ago. What does this copy of the report say about an emissions intensity scheme? Because, of course, this has become a very fraught issue this week. Josh Frydenberg saying it was on the record, not on the agenda, rather on the table, and then saying it wasn't when, of course, there was a huge backlash. What does it say about that?
Well, this report is a preliminary report. It's not the full document. We'll get that into next year. So basically, it poses a number of questions rather than putting forward concrete recommendations. In relation to the emissions intensity scheme, though, the commentary that it makes about an emissions intensity scheme is very positive. It references previous research that's been done by very credible agencies about the cost impacts and whether or not it's a good policy to allow the transition that we need to happen in the power grid to happen. And it references all of those studies positively. It says that the Climate Change Authority has indicated that an emissions intensity scheme in the electricity sector would keep power prices low for consumers compared to other policy options. So there's a sort of implicit, I've described it in the story that I've written for The Guardian this afternoon, as an implicit endorsement of the emissions intensity scheme that, of course, the government dumped this week. As you've said, Patricia, we've been treated to what can only be described as a pathetic display by the government this week. They basically created the terms of reference for the review of the Direct Action Climate Policy. Josh Frydenberg very cleverly and sensibly made quite wide-ranging terms of reference that enables rational policy solutions to be argued by experts over the next several months. Then at the first sign of grape shot, basically, there was internal dissent about this, as could have been predicted by everybody. It wasn't a surprise what happened. The arc of the story was not a surprise to anyone, and I suspect certainly not to Malcolm Turnbull or Josh Frydenberg. But they folded. They absolutely folded.
Now, Jay Weatherill is calling for a state-based emissions trading schemes. He's saying that might be the way, because clearly the federal government doesn't want to do this. And we know they don't want to do this because they've told us that. They made that very clear. The Prime Minister, all his ministers, wall to wall, that's the view. Given he's saying he wants to do that, do you think that's a realistic option, that that might actually emerge out of this COAG, that he'll have others that join with him?
Well, it's kind of, Patricia, there's so much in climate politics, if you've been following it for a long time, which has been my curse, really. There's so much deja vu. We've sort of been through the state-based ETS kind of discussion before. We had that during the Howard years, and sure enough, here it comes again. Right at the moment, basically, I think Weatherill is on his own, really, at this point in time, because obviously there's a Liberal government in our most populous state, and Mike Baird is not going to go down that path, at least not now, I don't think. And basically, the governments in Victoria and Queensland have sort of tried to take a step back from the totally toxic carbon pricing debate that we've seen in Australia over the last sort of 6 years or so. And basically what they've been doing is setting up these quite ambitious renewable energy targets. And they've been centering their policy in that direction, basically sort of boosting the renewable sector and sort of letting the transformation happen in the energy market, sort of with those subsidies driving it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that as a policy response, but actually what would be far more efficient way to do it is to create a national market where carbon could be priced and where trading could occur. Then you wouldn't need things like renewable energy targets and you wouldn't need these state-based schemes. Basically, if there's a price signal there, the market will take care of it. So, look, it's a long-winded way of answering your question, Patricia, but look, Weatherill has been pushing this for months. This is not new. The South Australian government has been pushing the emissions intensity scheme. And in fact, it's sort of the origins of this batch of the discussion actually sort of began with South Australia, really. They've been pushing it for months and months and months. But can he sort of sign up the states to a sort of quasi-national scheme? Not in the short term, I don't think.
No. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Catherine Murphy. She's Guardian Australia's political editor.